Shin Ein Zayin. In any event, so these psukim, what we have over here, are the psukim of the bracha. I mean, this week is the brachos and klolos of Sefer Dvarim. We have the tochacha, as is referred to in Sefer Vayikra, the Parsha Vichukosai, and we have the one of Kisavo, we hear in Sefer Dvarim. And this always precedes Rosh Hashanah. And Chazal say that we make sure that even in a time when the Torah was finished in a 3-year cycle, they always read the klolos, right? The klolos of Mishneh Torah, i.e. of Kisavo, they always read it before Rosh Hashanah. Techla shana v'kiloseha. Let the year end with its klolos, right? And as the piyut says, v'tachel shana u'birchoseha, let the new year begin with its brachos. So, but the fact is that it's not just klolos. It's not just curses, etc., not just disaster. There are psukim beforehand that speak about how we're zochet to bracha. How we're zochet to bracha. And it's a very interesting portrait of how the Jewish people should appear, right? That determines, or really defines for us, what constitutes bracha in the eyes of the Torah. So let's take a look. Kof Ches. Pasuk Aleph. Ve'kaf ches, Pasuk Aleph. Mitzvahaya, im shamoa tishma b'kol Hashem elokecha, nishmor la'asos, es kol mitzvosav asher anochi mitzvacho hayom, nisvancho Hashem elokecha elyon al kol goyeh ha'aretz. Im shamoa tishma. Shamoa tishma. So the Rosh says, Vaya im shamoa tishma. Im shamata ba'olam hazeh, ba'olam haba tishma. If you heeded, you heard, right? You absorbed, you connected with, you assimilated, life according to the Torah in olam hazeh, then you'll be able to hear it in olam haba. He brings a very interesting medrash. The medrash of Chuma says, it says, "Kira'am Rabbi Yonah b'shem Rabbi Abba, ha'isat tzricha toli nasin liYisrael ba'olam hazeh, sh'rei kulam asidim lilmo tormi pia gvura, el kishyavu lelamdam olam haba, sh'yedu be'eza parsha asuya, l'fichach im shamoa ba'olam hazeh, tishma olam haba." In other words, the goal, I mean, what this really is saying is Hashem, He wants to be meitiv to us. He wants to give to us. The greatest gift that He can give to us is connection, right? Is connection to Him. Connection to Him. That connection to Him, if it comes as a freebie, so that's what Chazal referred to as a nama de kisufa, a bread of shame. But the ultimate goal is to learn Torah Kavyachal from Hashem, which is to connect with Hashem via the Torah, because that's what Olam Haba is all about. It's all about the Torah. It's all about Torah. To connect Hashem via the Torah in Olam Haba. But it's only possible to connect to Hashem via Torah in Olam Haba if a person has learned Torah in Olam Hazeh. If a person has connected himself to Torah in Olam Hazeh. He's connected himself to Torah and Olam Hazeh. That's what it means. That Vaya im shamoa tishma. If you heard in Olam Hazeh, in other words, if you imprinted the circuitry on your soul in Olam Hazeh, then you have the ability to hear it in Olam Haba. Again, each person according to the situation, each person according to their abilities, each person according to, you know, their particular life scenario. But the connection to Torah has to be there. That's how we start off with. The first statement is, you should know that, what do you call it, that the focus over here is what will ultimately be the perfected connection between every individual and his creator.
This is in Pasuk Aleph?
Vaya, right? That's going on the words Vaya im shamoa tishma. If you hear, then you will hear of him again in the future. If you hear now, you'll hear in the future. Right? So that's the first thing. That's the first thing. Says the Imri Emes. Right, Nolam Haba. Says the Imri Emes, the second citation down. He says, Isa Medrash Tanchumi, brings down the Medrash Tanchumi just saw. The Torah didn't need to be given. The Torah really is meant to be connected to us, to Hashem, in Olam Haba. Why is it given in Olam Hazeh? Lama nitel ba Olam Hazeh. Shekish yava Kadosh Baruch Hu lamdam Olam Haba. You are called Yodim be'eza parshu osuk. It's such an interesting terminology. A person will recognize what he's talking about. He'll recognize what he's talking about. Hashem starts to give shir in Olam Emes. If you haven't learned it before, it's like if you didn't prepare for shir before and you don't know what the Rebbe's talking about. Right? You know what he's talking about. So the limud of Torah in Olam Hazeh is what gives the person the capacity, as it were, to absorb Torah in Olam Haba. V'hainu, says the Imre Emes, shelekol echad yesh parsha b'fnei atzmo, u'kvo chein hester. Person's experiences in life, right? Person's experiences in life, every person has got his strength, his unique quality. Like we've said before, like many, many times, in the name of the Shlo and others, that Yisrael is Rashi Tevos, Yesh Shishim Ribo Osios LaTorah. Yesh Shishim. So every person has got his aspect, right, of his unique connection to Torah that no one else has. And when he lives his life, so if he fulfills that connection, that's good. In addition, says the Imri Emes, a person also goes through moments of hester, of where Hashem's kavyachol, he's hidden from him. And the way the person relates to those difficult moments also. In other words, there are the usages of one's strengths, and there are the overcoming of the difficulties of life, all using a person's unique qualities, his strengths, his weaknesses, etc., in order to be able to deal with that, says the Imri Emes, Shutzorek Lizgaber Alov Lasos Mimenu Torah. We transform. In other words, when we deal with something the right way, if it be a positive experience, or if we have to overcome a difficult experience, and we do it the right way through the derech of the Torah, we transform that into Torah.
Mm-hmm. It said that betachon, greatest times of betachon is when you have no stress.
Well, that's the idea of betachon is to dispel the worry. That's the litmus test.
You can't have betachon without the stress.
Without the stress, you know, you can't develop your strength of betachon. Yeah. Okay.
What sefer is this?
Sharm B'Tefillah.
Ah,
one of your
fingers?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got it in. V'chein kosev az nidru yirei Hashem v'yichtov v'sefer. I'm still reading that little last line and a half of the Imri Emes. It says v'az nidru yirei Hashem. The pasuk says Malachi then, but he called the those who are yirei Hashem will speak to one another. V'yichtov v'sefer zikaron. Yichtov v'sefer zikaron. And everything that a person, right, everything that a person, as it were, his experience, yeah, in Yir Shamayim, positive, with positive events, with difficult events, etc., everything he does is written down in a sefer. Right, it's all written down. Everything. Kol ma'aseh b'sefer nechtav. All of your acts are written down in a book. They didn't say that. It said the record that's written in record in a sefer. That becomes your sefer Torah. That becomes your sefer. That's your safer. That's your book. That's your book. What? That's going to be your jastro to understanding the Torah Hashem is going to teach you. You write your book, and that becomes your milon, your dictionary.
What's it going to be like?
Okay, That on the pasuk said, that's what Chazal say. Ayin lo ra'as Elokim zu'asecha. No one has seen it, not even the Nevi'im, so I can't answer the question. That's the first thing. First thing is, im shamoa tishma. Right? The goal is, where the Olam Hazeh is a prose door, Olam Haba is the traklin, Olam Hazeh is the corridor, Olam Haba is the banquet hall. That's the first step in the list of brachos.
What did Abraham
say? He just defined for us
when the moments of Hester, when we have moments of Hester.
He's just explaining what he's broadening the understanding of what it means to be Shomea Torah in this world. Right, even times of difficulty. In other words, you take your positive attributes and the way you see things, the way you understand things, and that puts your unique imprint on Torah on the one hand, and the way you deal with life's events using the lens of the Torah that creates another type of imprint. And this becomes your dictionary. It becomes your dictionary to understand the depth of Torah that Hashem is going to teach you in the Olam HaEmes. Only Hashem has seen it, right? We haven't seen it, so we can't talk about it. Next.
What did other people say about it?
I just told you, Ayin lo rasa, no eye has seen it, just Hashem. Even the Nevi'im haven't seen it. So it's not a talkable subject for us. Right? One thing for sure, it's not going to look like a miracle on 34th Street. Right? Okay, not going to look like that. Right? It's not going to look like that. Right? And it's not like what he called like the Muslims think also, that it's super Olam Hazeh.
Yeah, so super Olam Hazeh.
Right.
That doesn't
make
sense at all.
No. That's why the Rambam refers to Meshmeilim and Tipshim.
They're crazy.
It's stupid. If it's super Olam Hazeh, so why, what do you call it? Why do it now? If that's all it is, just super Olam Hazeh. If there's no difference between what a person's experience is right now and then, so give it to him now. Why would the Hashem get his jollies out of watching us walk on nails? Elyon akol goya oretz. That's the end of the pasuk. Im shamoa tishma, right? If you learn here, I'm still in Pasuk Aleph. The Pasuk starts off, Im Shamoa Tishma, Bekol Hashem Elokecha, Lishmor Lasos, is called Mitzvosav, Asher Anochi Mitzavcho, Hayom Unisoncho, Hashem Elokecha, Elyon Akol Goya Oretz. So the first part of the Pasuk is saying is, you learn here in the prose door, and that brings you to the Olam HaEmes, and that's the goal. That's the goal. That's where we call, there you'll be able to truly understand your connection, to really to be able to connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam. In the interim, though, if that's your path here to connect to the Torah that'll eventually be your eternal tether. Right, your eternal rope, right? Eternal rope connecting to Hashem. In the interim, you'll be Elyon al kol goyei haaretz. You'll be on a different plane from all the other nations of the world. No. That we know. If you are involved in being in the process of Shamoa Tishma, that if you're connecting to Torah now, imprinting your circuitry, as it were, which, in a way that will give you the ability to be able to connect in the Olam HaEmes, transforming yourself here in Olam HaZeh, in order to be able to be connected eternally to the Ribbono Shel Olam in Olam Haba, in the interim, the Jewish people, you Jewish people, become Elyon HaKol Goyei HaAretz. You will become elevated to a different plane than all the other nations of the world. And that the Ibn Ezra says, Elyon HaKol Goyei HaAretz, Zos HaBracha Kolal Shlo Tiye Uma Ba'olam Kamochem. There'll be no other nation like you, like the Jewish people. We're going to live on a different plane. When we're high functioning, we live on a different plane. Right? Says Rav Yosef B'chor Shor, "Unesancha Hashem Elokecha Elyon, Hashem will put you above."
We're back in the Chumash.
I mean, the Pesukim are on the page also. We're still in Pasuk Aleph, and I was hearing the Perush of Rav Yosef B'chor Shor, one of the Balei Tosos. You see it right there in the middle. It's right underneath that Ibn Ezra. "Unesancha Hashem Elokim Elokecha Elyon, Kosher Kosuv Ulesikcha Elyon." Ki derech Yisrael keshem olim al hakol, right? Olim al hakol ad hashamayim kosh amnu chachamim lechachamav lahaman. In other words, the Jewish people are in a different plane. Says Rav Yosef B'chor Shor, just like the Haman's advisors, his wife and his buddies, told him when he started to fall before Mordechai, they told him, "You should know. Now that you're starting to fall before Mordechai, you know your goose is cooked." Right? That's what he said in Esther. By Safar Haman Lazarish, he stole the whole of Avi Skolashir. He tells over everything that happened to him, that he had to lead around Mordechai, you know, on a horse, right, around through the town, etc. Right? And they said to him, Chachabav, his advisor, his wise man, Lazarish, he stole, and his wife, if he's the descendant of the Jews and you start to fall before him, there's no way you can deal with this. You're going to fall before him because he's going to be on a different plane. Right? He's going to be a different plane. There's no way. Said Rashi says over there, Amra Uma Zu Nimshal Kochavim. The Jewish people are compared to the stars, ul afar, and they're compared to the dust of the earth. Geshem yordim yordim ad afar. When they when they fall off of their proper plane of existence, they descend to the absolute dust. And it's not like regular humans. Regular humans are not in the dust. Regular humans are walking above the dust. No, they descend to the dust. He says, ukeshem olim, and when they rise up, olim ad larakia. Right? But when they rise above, what do you call it? They rise to Rakia. Adikol Chavim, to the stars themselves. And that's, remember, we did the Maisa with Rav Yochanan Zakkai and the Gemara Ksubis when he was walking outside of the Beis HaMikdash after the Churban. He was walking with his Tamidim and he came upon a young woman, and the woman was picking out barley corns from the fecal matter of the Chamor that belonged to a Mohammedan. Well, they called Aravi. There were no Mohammedans then. Yeah, to Aravi, right? Sorry. Okay, to an Arab, yeah. And she says to him, "Care for me, Parnaseni, feed me." He asks her who she is, and she tells him, "Don't you recognize me? I'm the daughter of Nachima Ben Gorion, one of the wealthiest men of Yerushalayim." And here she was. And that's what Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai said. Ashreichem Yisrael, authenticated are your Jewish people, because to own Ulsim and Son Shalmakom, when you do the will of Hashem, Ein Kol Umav Lashon Shaletes Vachem. When you do the will of the Creator, there is no nation, there is no culture that can have dominion over you. But when you don't do Ritzon Shomokom, then not only are you no longer in your previous stature, but you fall to such a point of where you're in the hands of having to take out animal food, barley, from the fecal matter of a chamor, right? The lowly chamor that belongs to an Arab. Further. Pasuk Beis. Again, the overall outlook is to connect to Torah here, so that becomes the blueprint of our ultimate connection in the Olam Emes. In the interim, when a person connects himself to this wavelength, of preparing himself here in the corridor called Olam Hazeh, the result is that he is the Jewish people are Elyon, are called Goya Aretz. They are live on a different plane, and the practical upshot of that. One of the practical upshots from that is Uvo alecha b'tzik beis, Uvo alecha kol habrachos ha'ele v'yisigucha ki sishma b'kol Hashem Elokecha. There will come upon you all the blessings v'yisigucha. They will, as it were, they will catch up to you. They will reach you. They will reach you. And it's not that you'll have to reach them. They'll reach you. Says the Svarnu, "Uvalach kol abrochos aile visigucha afal pishelu tishtadil atol asiga." Your focus is not going to be on them. Your focus is not going to be when I'm going to make my second million, or my third, or my fourth, or my fifth. When am I getting my yachta, as they say, my yacht, right? My my villa and my Volvo, my Wheela and my Wo-Wo, right? That's not going to be your focus. Your focus is of Hayoyim Shema Tishma. As a result of that, it will. Those brachos will reach you. Afal pi says the Svar Shel Tishtadel Lahasigam. You're not even going to be involved in trying to get these all these brachos. Ki Tishma B'Kol Hashem Elokecha. V'zeh Kishetiyah Torascha Kva Umlachtecha, right? When the focus of your life is your Torah, right? Doesn't mean stop working, right? But it means really cool. But when the focus of your life,
stop working what?
What, working in to make a parnasa. It's not saying that. It's just saying when the focus of your life, right, is your Torah, and the lachtecha is arai, and the more peripheral part of your life is your parnasa. It doesn't say that here. It says that what do you call it? That the it says that when the Jewish people are functioning like this, then what do you call it? Then Hashem gives them vo alecha kol habrachos elav yisigucha, right? Without even ishtadlus, without even ishtadlus, don't need an ishtadlus, right? Sorry, I said that, but it didn't say the record. Everything is relative and everything is in gradations.
Yeah.
Right? I can tell. Okay. Baruch Atoba here, you'll be blessed in the city. Baruch Atoba study, you'll be blessed in the field. Baruch Pigvitnecho, Friad Mascho, Ufriyav Emtecho, Shkar, Lafecho, Shteros, Sonecho. Right? The fruit of the womb. Right? Not the fruit of the loom. Fruit of the womb, right? Fiat mascha, the fruit of your fields, right? Your animal, your livestock. Baruch tanacho mishartecha. Right? The baskets, as it were, that hold your bounty, be it dry fruits, or be it liquids, yeah. Tanacho, some person says it's referring to liquids.
I actually have experience.
Right? Again, it's not, it didn't say don't go to work, but everybody called, but did you get what's the after the Shemaya? Pasuk Vav, further. Baruch atah b'vo'echo, Baruch atah b'teisecho. It is. You're probably looking on the wrong side. Yeah, okay. Alright. Well, it'll be better in the morning. Baruch atah b'vo'echo, Baruch atah b'teisecho. You are baruch. You'll be blessed. You'll be connected to the source of bracha. B'vo'echo, u'b'teisecho. So what it means, you're coming and you're going. So Rashi says, Baruch atah b'vo'echo, Baruch atah b'teisecho, sh'teitzi yitzi'ascha min ha'olam b'lo chet k'v'yascha lo. So Rashi says, where's the bia and yitzia? Bia is coming. Where is the coming and where is the going? What are we talking about? So Rashi says that the way you came into the world without sin, so too you will leave the world without sin. That's a special bracha.
That's if you have a lot of sins from your previous life.
That's pretty cool. That's not called the same thing. That's tikkun. That's tikkun. Right? In terms of your individual, we're not talking about, well, when we're talking about Gilgulim, that's referred to as Kilu as a previous life. Right? Even the Gemara might even refer to it as like the sins of the father. Right? It doesn't mean to say a biological father, it means the sins of what he called one spiritual father, i.e. the previous lifetime. We're talking about this one. Just like you enter into this without sin, so you leave this world without sin. So according to Rashi, this is special bracha, in that he's just told us, right, psukim after psukim, about the physical success that we'll have without even as much as shtadlus, because we're focused on connecting to Hashem. Don't worry, if you maintain your connection to Hashem, just like you came into the world without sin, you'll leave the world without sin. In other words, your success will not turn your head. But those who are mafarish, like in Birchas Kohanim, I think we talked about it, Bishmano, we did Parshas Naso, that those who mafarish Birchas Kohanim, Yivrechach Hashem v'yishmerecha, the Shmira on Yivarechacha, which is a bracha in the world of physical success, The shmira on it is that the physical success shouldn't turn your head and mess you over. That's what Rashi understands. Baruch atah levecha, baruch atah v'seisecha. That's Rashi's pshat. That where you come into the world is where you leave the world. Okay? The Ibn Ezra. Things. This is all part of, if you, again, the first pasuk, v'haya im shamoa tishma, right? So we're talking within that context. Right? That's the paragraph. The paragraph is, you're going to be learning over here, you're going to be setting, as it were, the circuitry, you're printing the circuit upon your heart, which will enable you to be able to comprehend, connect to the Torah that Hashem will teach us in the Olam HaEmes. And then he says, along the way, you'll be beneficiaries of temporal bracha. That way you don't have to be preoccupied all the time, like, where am I getting next my dime from? Right? You'll have more time to be osik in the Hayyim Shamoa Tishma. And then it says, what do you call, in addition, he gives a bracha, baruch atah b'vecha, baruch atah b'tzitzecha. Rashi says that don't worry, this temporal bracha will mess you over. You'll, just like you came into the world without sin, you'll leave the world without sin. Again, as long as, like you said, you gotta have the right attitude and doing the right things. Right. The Ibn Ezra says, he says, in other words, whatever you have to do, be it, yeah, it's so interesting, be it to what do you call it, you're going out to do business, be it you have some other affairs to take care of, be it even in battle, right, l'shlol, to be called, take shlal, to take booty, you'll have l'havdil, the Midas touch, right, everything you touch turns to gold, right, if you connect, everything you do, every endeavor will be blessed, right, you'll be matzliach in everything you do, The Chizkuni, he says, Baruch atah b'vecha b'tzeisecha l'milchama. He says this pasuk is specifically referring to when you go out to war. Right? Right? Because there's going out to war and there's coming returning back to the war. The way reason he says that is because
the war is living.
The war is because the war is what you call, there are going to be nations around you that are not living on your plane, they're going to try and knock you off your pedestal, etc. They're going to try and attack you. Well, there's not enough people who hate the Jews. Unfortunately, there's too many. The Chizkuni. Right? See, so he says, well, the reason he chose that, why? It's because the next pasuk
chose what?
The model of going out to battle and returning from battle. The reason why he chose that specifically is because the next pasuk says, Yitan Hashem es oivecha kamim alech, Hashem will place the enemies, right, that rise up against you, he'll send them, you know, he'll send them fleeing from before you. B'derech echa geitzu elecha, they'll come and attack you in one column, u'v'shiva drochim anusul v'necha, and they'll flee before you in seven branches. They'll scatter, as what you call them, seven different directions, seven different groupings, they'll run away from you. Oh, okay. Says Ibn Ezra, why seven? Just like the days of the week, the natural order, the natural world, is 7 day week, 7 day week, and you're living on a different plane, like as we already said, so when they come to attack you, they'll flee in seven directions because they are the people who are living in the natural, normal, quote unquote, world. Right, they're living in the world of the natural, and they're coming to do battle with you, but you're living on a different plane. The result is they'll flee before you in seven directions.
Four directions.
North, west, east, south. Seven drachim, seven paths. Seven paths.
There's also top and bottom.
Okay, so that's what Ibn Ezra says. He responds to what he called the idea of seven. Further, Yitzav Hashem Pasuk Ches, Yitzav Hashem Yitzchos Habrocha Ba'Asamecha V'chol mishlach yadecho v'rachacho ba'oretz asher Hashem lekecho nosin loch. Hashem will give you a bracha v'asamecha. Asamecha is a storage place, right? But also the term asamecha is an unusual term. What does it mean? Asamecha. So Ba'aturim says, right, and it's based upon the Gemara in Tainis. Asamecha, he says, Begematria zehu samui. This is hidden. Samui, right? A suma is a blind person. Something which is samui is hidden from sight. Right? Something which is samui is hidden from sight. Asamecha, he says, the gematria that is zeu samui, she'ena bracha mitsuya el bedover ha-samui min ha'ayin. Bracha only rests upon something which is hidden from the eyes. Now we're entering into a new zone over here. We talked about you being successful, right, in all sorts of endeavors, right? Be it, what do you call it, you know, the endeavors of business, what do you call it, your crops, etc., be it even in wars, you'll be successful. And then the Chumash goes a step further. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you bracha ba'asamecha, which you said means storehouses. But why use the term asamecha? So the Gemara in Tanya says, the reason it says asamecha is to teach you that you'll be subject to a bracha which works on something which is hidden from the eye. Perish, what does that mean? Person has reaped his crops, right? He's got a humongous, what he called, you know, pile of wheat there. But he doesn't know how much is there. He doesn't know necessarily how much is there yet. Before he counts it, before he measures it out, he should say, yeah, he wrote on the fonecha Hashem Elokeinu, shetishlach, right? Bracha b'masa yadenu. You say a bracha, right? A tefillah. Before you measure out exactly how much you have there, that Hashem Elokeinu tishlach bracha. What he did is Hashem should send a blessing into the work of our hands, and the result will be that it'll increase.
Hashem should send bracha into your hands.
Into the work of your hands. In other words, you've got in front of you a mound of your reaped wheat, right? If you make this tefillah beforehand, when the Jewish people are functioning properly, Hashem sends a bracha, and there'll be more there than what actually is there now. You can't see it, but that's the haftacha. There will be more there. Once you count it, so he's not going to, as it would, break the rules. Right? Break the rules that are recognizable rules of nature. Hashem doesn't want to do that. But as long as it's not known yet how much is there, you can be guaranteed if you misspell before you count it, there'll be more there than what he caught than before you made that tefillah. That's already a whole different level. As before, we talked about success. You won't have to work as hard for it. It's going to come to you, right? You'll have success against the nations who want to destroy you, want to take away, recall your success from you. Now he adds a new plane over here. There'll be miracles taking place for you. Miracles when the thing is hidden from the eye, you'll have more there at your tefillah, bakasha Hashem, than was there before you made your bakasha.
We should say through. We should get bracha through the work of our hands.
I'm saying the bracha. What do you call it? The again. What do you call it? When we're not talking about. It's hard to describe it. Like, let's say, you know, you can't say, you know, that you gave a person a bill for fixing the refrigerator, right? And you know how much, what he called, you know, how much you charge him. So you can't say, he wrote something, there should be more there than, right, because that's obvious. And recall, how can it be, you know, they deposited $150 check, what he called, then it should turn to a $500 check. Because that's already revealed. But when you're talking in agriculture, right, there's a stage before you actually know how much you've got, even though it's already in your possession. That is subject to a tefillah. Hashem, give me a blessing in that which I have done in the work of my hands. Give me a bracha in the work of my hands, and you'll actually find more there than was there. No, it's okay. Yeah, I mean, maybe you can find it even in like, let's say you make a change in something, And you know, it's a possibility it could have effect on two problems, let's say in the machine. Two problems in the refrigerator or in the washing machine. You're working with a circuit board. You know that what he caught for sure it's one thing, etc. But you're hoping it'll have an effect on something else which is also a problem. Right? You've done your work, but you haven't tested it yet. You can say he wrought some. May it have the effect of fixing both problems.
I was doing that.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you this question, as a matter of fact. I was working on a computer board. I played with it for a good half hour to reset it.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. I took it to the computer shop. They said there was nothing wrong with the computer board. I put it back in. And I told the woman, I said you should say to him. She started saying to him. And she said she even gave tzedakah, and I played with the computer to work again, then reset it, and it started to work. So I was thinking that maybe I shouldn't have charged her. Maybe she could search it home, fix it, and wasn't me.
She pays you for your time.
She paid me for your time.
Okay. You have a good eight also. Right? She told her to say that. I mean, it's not like we're talking about, you know, the thing is in two pieces now. Oh, Hashem, you know, make it whole again. He's not going to do an open. He's not going to make an open miracle in that fashion. But something where it's hidden, we will be zochas. There's a new level of Hashem's hashgacha upon us. Here, further. Ikimcha Hashem lo l'am kadosh kasher nishba loch. Pasuk Tes, the one we were at before. Pasuk Tes. Okay, no, I understand. I meant when you were on the other side of the page. Okay. Yikimcha Hashem lo, Pasuk Tes. Yikimcha Hashem lo l'am kadosh. Hashem will raise you up as a holy nation. Kasher nishba loch, as he is sworn to you, kisishmos mitzvos Hashem elokecha, v'holachta bidrachov. Right? What? I did ches. Ches was ba'asamecha. There was some wim in the eye, that which was hidden away from the eyes. Right? What you call tes is what you call you will be transformed. And until now, we've talked about, right, the changes in the world around you. And now we're talking about you'll be transformed. You'll transform into an Am Kadosh, a holy people. Not just to be above the nations of the world, yet in terms of the way that your connection with Olam Hazeh. You will become a holy nation. What does it say there? Kasher nishba lecha, as he sworn to you, ki sishmor es mitzvos Hashem, when you keep his mitzvos, v'alachta bidrachov, and you go in his ways. Right? In other words, if you keep his mitzvos and you follow his ways, then you will become a transformed person. Says the Brick, well, there is a mitzvah here, v'alachta bidrachov, that one should imitate Hashem's ways. Says the Rambam, say for mitzvahs, mitzvah ches. He should see vanal hidamos bo yizbarach lefi yicholteinu. We have to try and make ourselves kaviyachol as similar, as parallel in our deeds to the Rebbeinu Shlomo as we are capable of doing. V'amar v'alachta bidrachov. V'takov al tivu yizev amar l'alachas v'chol drachov. Ubala Pavish Zeh Ma Kodosh Baruch Hu Nikra Rachum, just like Kodosh Baruch Hu is called a Rachum. He shows his mercy. Avatar Rachum, Ma Kodosh Baruch Hu Nikra Chanun. He gives freely, he gives a gift, he gives his grace graciously to others. Right? So too also, Avatar Hechanun. We have to try and mimic Hashem's ways.
Hashem's name for mercy is UK Mufti.
What?
Hashem's name for mercy.
That's the name that's associated with what he called with rachamim, right? Chesed is kale.
And what's tachanunim?
Tachanunim is beseeching, but chanun means what he called to give something free, right? To show your favorite or
what,
something.
What Hashem's names would be similar to calling out?
I don't know if you can make each one, you know, parallel to right, to different things here.
You don't think so?
Let's do what he called Dafka the Chanon. Again, these are things that Hashem, right? These are ways that Hashem shows himself to us, Right? So that we're meant to learn and absorb these ways from him. Hashem is beyond all description. But the way he presents himself to us is with the traits of Rachum, of Chanun. Chanun is, you know, showing his grace, giving a free gift, as it were, you know, of kindness. Usually, really called Rachamim is based upon the needs, right, of the other, how desperate their needs are. And Chanun is like a free gift, I just want to give to them. You could say, I guess, it's a little bit more like Chesed, like Kale, maybe.
Kale is Chesed?
Yeah. Further. Vero Chol Amei Ha'aretz.
Kale is another name for Chesed.
Kale is the name of Hashem associated with Chesed. That's Rachamim. Chesed and Rachamim are not the same thing. Chesed is what he called. Rachamim is generated by the need of the receiver. Kale is generated by the ratzon of the giver to give. Given that's a discussion in its own right. V'ro chol ami oretz ki shem Hashem nikro alecha v'yoru mimecha. The result will be that all the nations of the world will see that Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha V'yaru Mimecha. Let's see, the name of Hashem is read upon you. You can read the Shem Hashem off of the person. V'yaru Mimecha, and they will fear you. In other words, when the Jewish people are living on this level, so first of all, the temporal world knocks for them. Right? Now that there's Zocha even to Nisim. Not only that, but recall, but they will become an Am Kadosh, clearly a nation, right? A nation that is Muvdol, just like Hashem Kaviyachol is Kadosh, so to the Jewish people, a Kadosh people, when we do the mitzvot and we follow Hashem's ways, Valachim Trachim. And then the result will be, the Rocha Amiyar, to the nations of the world will look at us and they'll stand in fear of us. Because they'll realize they're looking at a different type of creation. Yeah, of course it's for their benefit. It's not just for our hegemony, right? The more that they recognize, that we are living on a different plane, the more receptive they are to instruction, and ultimately to their own rectification through that instruction. If I meet somebody who's clearly head and shoulders over me, right? So I want to listen to what they say. Because I know it's going to build me up. It's going to edify me. I'm going to be a different person as a result of it. So to the nations of the world, they'll see the Jewish people. They'll stand there and say, whoa, look at that.
So when the world was created, was Hashem had mind for the Jewish people?
I mean, it says, Bereishis, Bishul Yisrael Sheni Kruo Reishis. Right, the mice of the world unfolded, based upon the choices of man.
Right, but would there be the people?
The Jewish people are the racious. They are the racious. They are the they are the cause for Bereishis Bara Elokim, the Torah and the Jewish people.
So then Hashem was expecting these
sin. Again, that's really cool. That's Hashem doesn't force anything. Hashem knows, and yet we have free will. So initially,
if Adam didn't sin, there wouldn't be any.
If Adam didn't sin, then Adam would have encompassed all of the Jewish people. He would have encompassed it, right? Caught, but he sinned, and then his personality, as it were, got divided up.
Right.
Right. Whatever. Okay. Baruch Chol Am Yaretz. Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha. So the really called the Gemara in Menachos says, "Baruch Ami Amiyaretz, and the nations of the world will see Ki Shem Hashem Nikra Lecha." That's Tefillin Shebarosh. The what will they see that will cause them to stand in awe of the Jewish people? So the Gemara says that's Tefillin Shebarosh. The Tefillin that is upon, that's the Gemara says in Menachos Lamed Hey. The Tefillin upon the head or in the head. How do they see the name of Hashem is written on you, is read upon you? How do you read the name of Hashem off of a person? He's painting God forbid Hashem's name on his forehead?
Yeah.
God forbid. right? You're not allowed to do that because
abhorrent.
What?
Abhorrent.
Okay, we'll ignore that, right? See, he says it, they, when they see the tefillin upon your head, they see the name of Hashem upon you. Remember once we mentioned the story from what he called from the Shagas Aryeh. The Shagas Aryeh was traveling, right? With a wagon driver, and I guess they left very early, and they had to stop now to daven. So they stopped. So the Shagas Aryeh had his tefillin on, and the driver had his tefillin on, and all of a sudden they were attacked by bandits, right? And the Shagas Aryeh is inside the wagon. He's davening. He's totally unaware of what's going on, right? And the meanwhile, the driver is like he's trying to fend off the robbers. He's got a big stick there, and he's fighting with them. Finally, sees he's going to succumb to them in a moment. So he screams out, "Rebbe, right, help me!" The Shagas Aryeh peers out from inside of the wagon, and the robbers see the Shagas Aryeh and they flee. So the wagon driver says to him, he says, "Rebbe, how'd that happen?" He says, because the pasuk says, "V'rochol ami aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha v'yaru mimecha." The nations of the world will see, right, that the name of Hashem is written upon you, and they'll stand in fear of you. So the Gemara says, what is that referring to? Tefillin shebarosh, the tefillin on your head. That's how they'll see the name of Hashem. That's why we're in fear, afraid. So the wagon driver says, "But Rebbe, I was also wearing tefillin." He says, right, but that's what Chazal say tefillin sheh birosh, tefillin that are in the head, not tefillin sheh al harosh. That is, when the tefillin that are on your head penetrate into your head, they're part of the inside of your head, that's when they stand in fear of you. You hear what I'm saying? Right? That's what he told the wagon driver. So the Rabbi Bache says over here on this pasuk, right? Rabbi Bache says on this pasuk, he says, right? I think a person is a servant to one of the king's, you know, ministers. So, you know, people, whatever it is, they respect him, but it might not, how much they respect him. I mean, he's just a servant to the minister. But someone who is a servant to the master, to the king himself, that person automatically, it generates an atmosphere of awe around him.
Servant.
Right? The servant to the king himself.
What's all these little symbols there in the apostle?
Okay, so look. So what he calls Rabbeinu Bache points out that the letters Shem, Hashem, Nikra, right, spells Shin. That's the Shin on the tefillin. The shin on the tefillin.
That's in the
pasuk. Yeah, the pasuk says Rocha Amiaretz Ki Shame, right? Shame. The first letter of Shame is Shin. The first letter of the Shame Hashem is Yud. The first letter of the word Nikra is Nun Shin. Do they see the Shin that's written upon you? Not even the Shin that's written upon you.
Ah, very good.
Right. Says the Beis Yosef brings it down in Hilchos Tefillin or whatever, but then, right? The shin, right, is halacha l'Moshe Sinai, and the Rabbeinu Bache says, I don't know if I have it over here,
the shin says in Moshe Sinai?
Yeah, the shin.
How do they figure that?
No, the shin, what do you call it, on your tefillin. Yeah. On the right hand side of your tefillin, right, you've got what do you call, you've got a three pronged shin.
Yeah.
On the left hand side of your tefillin, you've got a four headed shin.
Yeah.
Right? So the Beis Yosef says that the three headed shin is the way we write a shin in the Sefer Torah. Three heads. Right? Achon?
Yeah.
The four-headed shin is a remez to the shin on the luchos, because the luchos were completely cut through, so the letter was really formed by the space. You hear what I'm saying? The space was really the empty, the avir was really the letter. right? Because it was completely cut through from side to side. So the space is really up here. So the four, what do you call the four? Right, written by Hashem. By Hashem, right? So that if we could have it standing there as a miracle. So the four-headed shin is really being merames to the three spaces between the four heads. That's just like on the luchos. So, because in other words, when the Jew is wearing his tefillin, he's got on the one hand, he's got the Torah, which he writes, right? Connected to the luchos, which Hashem wrote. Which Hashem wrote. And they're fused together because this Jew is now fused with his creator. And that's why when the nations of the world see him, they stand in fear. Because here is a person who's fused. He's an ever to the melech. He's fused to his melech, to the king. Says the Bachi also, I didn't copy that part over here for some reason, right? Right? The shin is also on your face. There's a remez, the shin in your face.
Right.
Your two nostrils and the vertical and your nose, right? There's a remez, right, to the shin on your face. Shin is also, right, 300, right? 300, and that's the number of days that you wear tefillin, right, during the year.
What's a shin is what? Is the gematria of shin is what?
What?
What do you say again? The number of tefillin on the year, 200?
The number of days you wear tefillin.
It's 200?
300. Shin is 300. 300.
300 days out of 365?
Because you got all the Shabbos, so you got the Yom Tovin.
Comes to 65 days?
Says.
And that's the gematria of shin is 300?
Shin is 300. Shin is, the letter is 300. Right? Be serious, it also brings that down in his tefillin. He also says that shin in atbash, right? Mm-hmm. Shin in atbash is the, you know, I think, no, I'm not shin in atbash. Yud-kei-vav-kei. Yudke Vavke in Akbash.
Right, it's mitzvah.
No, mitzvah, if you take the mem and the tzari, that would record, that becomes Yudke in Akbash. But I'm saying Yudke Vavke in Akbash is equal to shin. Because what's Yud? Right? Right? What's Yud? Yud is 10. So now let's go up 10 from the bottom. Tuf, shin, resh, Kuf, right? Sadi, Pei, Ayin, Samech, Nun, Mem, Yud. Right?
Comes out that way?
What?
Comes out. Backwards.
Yeah. So what do you call it? So the so if you take Yud K Vav K,
let it just do. I think I just did something cut.
Mem. It's mem. Sorry. Mem. Mem. Right. Mem. Of course, I know that. Mem. Mem is what he called. Is the tenth letter coming up from the bottom?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then hey.
Why are you speaking Yud?
Oh, no, because the tenth letter coming down from the top is Yud. The tenth letter going up from the bottom is Mem.
Why are you starting off with Yud for?
Because the Shem Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Right? Yud, right? So that's what he called that.
So the
Mem. Right, going right in the other direction, right? Then there's Hey. So then what he called Tuf, Shin, Resh, Kuf, Sadi.
Hey is 5.
Hey is 5, but the Atbash is Sadi, that's 90.
Sadi.
That's 90. So you got 90 and 40. Mem is 40. Right? Is equal to 40. Sadi is what? Is 90, so that's 130. Right? Then you've got Vav. So let's go up from the bottom again.
Vav is 8.
Vav is 6. So, but coming down, but going up from the bottom, that's going to be Pei. Because Tuf, Shin, Resh, Kuf, Sadi, Pei. So that Pei is 80. Okay? And then what he called, and then another hey again is what he called is sadi, is 90. So what is that equal to?
132 times
300.
300.
Shin is the gematria of the atbash of the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. And it makes sense what we're talking about here, because we're talking about the fusing. The coming down from the top is the way Hashem presents Himself to us. Coming up from the bottom is the way we absorb what Hashem is giving us, right? So that's the shin. The shin, right? Like just like we saw before, the right-handed shin has got three heads on it. The left-handed shin has got four heads. The right-hand shin of the tefillin is representative of the way we write a shin in the Sefer Torah. The left-handed shin has got four heads on it to create three spaces. That's the way Hashem wrote wrote the letters on the luchos. On the luchos. So the two fuse. So we're transformed. Alright, we're transformed. Well, it's like anything. If you really caught here, let's see here. Look here. You got a forehead here. How many spaces do you have? 1, 2, 3. When you punch out, right? In other words, the letters are really the air, the spaces. Right. It stands very cold. Like that's why it says that the mem and the samach, right, in the luchos, were standing miraculously because they're completely connected. The mem and the samach. So how does everybody call? How's it connected? You punch a hole in the middle, right? You punch a hole in the middle, right? And then the thing around it is separated from the top. So what have you got? You got a hole. How's the letter standing there? Okay. Further, Hosir Hashem the Tov of free vitnecho free them to Kercha free Admasecha our Adoma Shinishba Hashem la Vasecha la Sislav Yuralef. Hosircha says the what he calls says the Ibn Ezra Tam Hosircha Imti Ra Vaaretz Varav Meira Atatishir la Tova. The rest of the nations, the world, could be in a state of famine, but in Eretz Yisrael, it will remain what he called. There'll be remain plenty. What?
Didn't that happen? The rest of the world.
We're talking here when the Jewish people are functioning the way they're supposed to be functioning. We're not talking about, you know, didn't it happen every day? Yiftach Hashem lecho asol Torah tov v'shamayim losis mitar artzecha biito levreches kol maasei odecha vilvisa goyim rabim v'atar lo silveh. Says the Alshech that the chiddush over here is, right? He says, what does it mean? Yiftach lech Hashem lecho es otzaro hatov es hashamayim laseis batar artzacha. He says, there's two ways that rain comes down to the earth. There is a reservoir of bracha.
Cats and dogs.
Okay. There is a reservoir of rain in Shamayim, right? That we call that it's called Gishmei Bracha. Rain of blessing. When the Jewish people are functioning properly, the rain comes from there, and that rain is parallel to the male, and the Rikwa, and when it reaches the earth, it impregnates the earth, and the earth in turn blossoms forth. The holy da v'itzmicha, like it says in Yeshaya, the rain will come down, and it'll cause the earth to give birth and to be tzomeach. When God forbid, the Jewish people are not doing Hashem's will, so it still might rain, but then what the rain is, it doesn't come from that special reservoir in Shemayim. It comes only from the water vapor that rises up from the earth, and that's like Znus, right? In other words, it's not coming from the source above. It's coming, what do you call it? It's being impregnated by a source. That's not the what do you call it, the preferred way, the way you call it, the way is meant to be, right? So he says the Alshech, he says Yiftach Hashem, right? L'cho esotzaro atov esheshamayim laseis mitar tzachav itol v'rech es kol maasei adecha l'visa goyim rabim v'atar lo silveh. What will be the litmus test? What would be the litmus test that the rain is coming from the Otsar? Because it'll rain, let's say, here, and it'll rain in neighboring countries. But their fruit will rot, and yours won't rot. Oh, but it came from what he called it. It came from the same rain. But it shows that the rain was rain of bracha, right? Rain of bracha. And therefore, they'll have to borrow from you. They'll have to buy from you. Oh, but it rained over there. They planted there. It rained over there. It's the same rain. The clouds moved over. But that bracha is only made for you. And therefore, their fruit won't survive, whereas your fruit will survive. Unesancha, finally, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Yudal, Unesancha Hashem, Lerosh, V'lo Lezanav, V'yisa Rak Lamala, V'lo Siya Lamata. It's a very funny thing, right? That here at the end it says, Hashem will make you into a Rosh, and you won't be a tail. Yud Gimel. Hashem will make you into a head and never into a tail. V'yisa Rak Lamala, V'lo Siya Lamata. Right? You'll only be above and you'll never be below. If you follow the mitzvahs properly, the shmor v'lasos, right? To guard them, to record in your head with Torah, v'lasos, and to do them. Says the Sifsei Kohen, right? That what does it mean? What does it mean that you'll only be able to malav l'lamata? He says, because sometimes a person gets full of himself. And the result is, it creeps into his heart gaiva. Right? It creeps into his heart gaiva. Like, of course Hashem should
sometimes
give him. Right?
Sometimes.
Okay, right? So, and the person begins to think.
Frequently.
Fine. As you wish. Because the person begins to believe, you know, no wonder I'm so successful. I'm the big cheese. Says the Pasuk, right, this is the protection that Hashem will make you always into a Rosh and not into a Zanav. It's interesting. The Sifsei Kohen doesn't say it exactly like this, but I would be called Lula de Mistafina, Nirlanias Daiti. But the idea is as follows. Once your drives, there are lots of drives in a person. A person's got drives for desire, a person's got just drives for power, right? Makes him haughty, right, etc. Then he is no longer leading. Because a person, I heard this from Moshe Shapiro, Zechatzai Kodesh L'Bracha, right? A person's midos are made deficient. He comes into the world with deficient midos. Drives. Pleasure, power, etc. Pick the psychologist. Whoever you want. Right? That's what appeals to a person. The goal is that a person should control his drives using his das, using his understanding. That's why the Rambam, as I heard from Ramosha many times, yeah, that's why the whole discussion of a person's midos in the Yad Chazaka, in the Mishnah Torah of the Rambam, is called Hilchos Deos. Deos. Because the goal is to be mashlit, to give dominion to the das over one's drives. And that way, one can perfect one's drives. One can fine-tune one's drives. But the drives on their own take a person to disaster. They drag him. So here we're talking about over here. Hashem will make you into a real rush, a real head. V'lola zanav, right? And you won't be what he called, you won't be a zanav. A zanav, what he called, a zanav to your own drives. You'll always be above and not down, right? Because if you believe that it's because of your greatness, your wonderfulness, what makes you so unique, etc., you're the cat's meow, and that's why you're successful, then really you're not above anymore. Now you're below, because now you're filled with haughtiness. Now you've detached yourself from the Creator. So the bracha is that you always be a Rosh, you won't be a Zanav, you always be Lamata, Vosi Lamata. When will this happen? Kisi Shmael, Mitzos, Hashem Elokecha. You will guard the concepts of the mitzvahs in your mind through your Lira Torah, Velasos, and you'll do them. Right? Do them, you have to do them. It's interesting, it's not the same way. In the very beginning, what did it say? In the very beginning, the first pasuk over here says, "V'haya im shamoa tishma b'kol Hashem elokecha lishmor lasos." It was talking there about Lira Torah. To learn it in order to be able to do it. Here at the end, in order to protect yourself from going off, It's not just the limud Torah, you also have to do the mitzvahs. That's why it says lishmor vilasos. And to do it, if you occupy your goof with the mitzvahs, if you occupy your mind with the Torah, and you occupy your goof with the mitzvahs, then you have the capacity, as it were, to be mashlit, your das, on your drives. You won't become haughty. You'll remain a rosh and not a zanav. You'll be lamali, you won't be lamata. I think that's what it says, lishmor b'lasos, not lishmor lasos. Losasur, mikol advarim asher anochim etzaveh eschem hayom yamin u'smol alecha sachrei Elohim achirim la'avdam. It's such a funny thing. It ends off the last thing, that saying, and you will not swerve from all the things that I've spoken to you, that I've commanded you to this day, neither the right nor the left, and you won't be over to Avodah Zarah. Goodness gracious, we're talking about here. This is the climax over here of all of your success, your temporal success, your eternal success, your personal transformation. The shame of Hashem is written on you. And the last thing it says, and if you do this, you won't go right, left, you won't be able to Avodah Zarah. That's all you got to say. Since I'm saying the idea is because Gaiva, that's the last thing over here. Gaiva is really called a person's holech. The coma scoof, a person walks erect, you know, like he's big cheese, he's the Fonz, right? No one knows where he got, right? With his thumb stapled to his suspenders, he's dochek ragli ashchina. He pushes away Hashem's presence in the world. He's made himself into an avodah zara. So the biggest success at the end of all of this is that after all the success, you don't shoot yourself in the leg. So then the circle is complete. Right? Achievement, 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 achievement. Shall we become haughty? No, we shall not become haughty. And the circle and the cycle is complete. That's the portrait, right, of perfection for the Jewish people.
Yeah.